feel like cheering. But you know, our faith isn't based on feelings, is it? Huh? Our faith, because if our faith, was based on feelings, I think we'd all, what would we do, huh? But our faith is fantastic adventure in trusting God. It's based on the empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are God's workmanship. And in that word for workmanship, it's the word that we get the word poem. That means that we are God's poem. We're God's song. We're God's sculpture. Now, we are a work in progress, aren't we? He's still working on me. But what was that cheer? We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? What would the crowd say? Huh? What would you say? We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? Remember, it's not based on feeling. It's based on our GPS, God's word. And I really believe that God wants to bring about a spirit of revival through all this uncertainty that is happening. Through even if the worst happens, God still wants to bring revival. Always through the tough times. Always through the tough times. God has counted on Timex Christians. You know what Timex Christians are? Don't you remember that old Timex wristwatch? It takes a ticket and keeps on clicking. Well, God's looking for... Oh, I'm sorry. That's true. God's looking for the Timex Christians. Folks that may be taking a licking, but what do? We keep on ticking in our weakness, in His strength. I really believe that our faith is being tested. And you know what? The faith that is tested is a faith that can be trusted. And I really believe God may be preparing our hearts for an awakening, for revival. Now, some of you might remember this revival that happened in this church. There's a little video. You may remember this. It was kind of a fun song by Ray Stevens. But let's see how revival came to this one church, if that's okay, Tom.
When I was a kid, I'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi, visit my granny and her antebellum world. I'd run barefooted all day long, climbing trees free as a song. One day, I happened to catch myself a squirrel. Well, I stuffed him down in an old shoebox and punched a couple holes in the top. When Sunday came, I snuck him into church. I was sitting way back in the very last pew, showing him to my good buddy Hugh. When that squirrel got loose, went totally berserk. What happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, some thought it was hell. But the fact that something was among us was plain to see. As the choir sang, "I surrender all," the squirrel ran up Harv Newland's coveralls. And Harv leaped to his feet, said, "Something's got a hold on me, yeah!" The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church, in a sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisle dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose and he screwed the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and that squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen pew, where sat Sister Bertha, better than you, who'd been watching all the commotion with sadistic glee. Should have seen that look in her eyes when that squirrel jumped her garters and crossed her thighs. She jumped to her feet and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." As that squirrel made laps inside her dress, she began to cry and then to confess the sins and make a sailor blush with shame. She told of gossip and church dissension, but the thing that got the most attention was when she talked about her love life. And then she started naming names the day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. 7 deacons and the pastor got saved, and $25,000 was raised, and 50 volunteered for missions in the Congo on the spot. And even without an invitation, there were at least 500 rededications, and we all got rebaptized whether we needed it or not. Now you've heard the Bible story, I guess, how he parted the waters for Moses to pass. Oh, the miracles God has wrought in this old world. The one I'll remember till my dying day is how he put that church back on the narrow way with a half-crazed Mississippi squirrel. The day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. The day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church in that stupid little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah.
Well, what do you think? Are we going to have to turn that squirrel loose? We really don't need, although God did use a donkey in the Old Testament, didn't he? He did. I really believe we don't really need a squirrel. We have God's word. We have prayer. We have the Holy Spirit of God. The wind of God that blew through the early church is still available today. Really. And you know, revival. If you look at the history of revival, it always starts with one. One. It starts with God, of course, but then he affects one person. Now, my question to me and to you, all of us, will we be that one that God starts revival in, or rebooting, if the modern term would be called? But I know a lot of us may not feel that way. In fact, a lot of us may be feeling, have you heard about Chippy the Bird? Have you heard about Chippy the Bird? See, we're on to animals today. I hope that's all right. Well, I think there's a little bit of Chippy the Bird in all of us these days. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang, and she turned to pick it up, and she barely said hello when whoosh, Chippy got sucked in the vacuum cleaner. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, and turned off the vacuum and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. First sucked up in a vacuum cleaner, then nearly drowned with water, and finally blasted with the hot air and noise of a blow dryer. Chippy was shell-shocked. A few days later, after the trauma, a friend contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. I think there's a little bit of Chippy in all of us these days, don't you think? Don't you think that's what's happening? I mean, how do you have faith in the middle of this crisis that we're going through? How do we have a strong faith? How do we hang in there like Timex Christians? Or maybe our feelings are just fluctuating back and forth. But how do we do it? Now, I always like to have a little clinkering here because if you want to groan before this story is told, go ahead. If you want to practice groaning, all right. I suppose you heard about two skunks that were talking. One skunk said, you know, my instincts, and I think it's going to rain. And the other one said, well, you know my instincts too, but it doesn't tell me anything. Well, okay, go ahead and groan. Oh. You see, we've got to be careful going by our instincts. We've got to be careful going by our feelings. We go by God's GPS. That's how we become a Timex Christian. That's how we have faith in the midst of a crisis. My dad was an auctioneer, and he used to be at the coffee shops to do business. This was years ago, you know, years ago. And I got a chance to visit, to auction with him for about 10 years and follow him around the different coffee shops, and we'd get there early. And let me tell you, we went to some cheap coffee shops. I mean, if you've ever been to a cheap coffee shop, I don't know if you've had some here in Astoria or not. We had one in our little community of Ashland, Illinois. I mean, I'll never forget one day I ordered a biscuit and there was a hair on the biscuit. Oh, but you know what? Somebody quoted this and they thought, you know, in tough times, Christians need to hang in there like a hair on a biscuit in a cheap restaurant. And I think that we can't do that with just our feelings. Our feelings will fluctuate so much. Fear. You know, I've been trying to not be full of fear, but full of faith. But I ask God to fill me with His Holy Spirit, and you know what? I leak. You know, I've been trying to focus. Have you all been doing the washing, the doxology? Did anybody teach you the doxology, washing of hands? Okay. Somebody got a timer? All right. How long it'll take us to sing the doxology, okay? Ready? Somebody time us, would you? Okay. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Bill, how long did that take? 20 seconds. What does the CDC tell us for washing our hands? 20 seconds. Well, I've been trying to not always, but whenever I wash my hands to do the doxology, just to focus on where our focus as Christians need to be. But we all in our weakness sometimes we don't always keep at it, do we? But you know what? God loves us. Remember, we're His workmanship. We're His poem. We're His song. We're His sculpture. And He's still working on us, even in the midst of a crisis. But there's different ways we can react. I heard about a woman who went to the doctor's office, and she was seen by one of the new doctors. But after about 4 minutes in the examination room, she burst out screaming as she ran down the hall. An older doctor stopped and asked her what the problem was, and she explained. He had her sit down and relax in another room. The older doctor marched back to the first and demanded, "What's the matter with you? Mrs. Terry's 63 years old. She has 4 grown children and 7 grandchildren, and you told her she was pregnant." The new doctor smiled smugly as he continued to write on his clipboard. But it cured her of her hiccups, though, didn't it? Our society is troubled with fear. There are all sorts of monsters in our collective closets. There are things in there that can get us. There are things that go bump in the night. There is so much that can happen. Is there a way that we as Christians can carry confidence and peace into our world? Not just for us, but that we can make an impact with the love and message of Jesus Christ to everyone, everywhere, every day. Look at this scripture. Let's again feast on the scripture. Have a hunger for God's words, because that brings revival. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. That's not just a feeling, that's a fact. We are not alone, even though we may feel like it. As his UCLA football team suffered through a poor season in the early 1970s, head coach Pepper Rogers came under intense criticism and pressure from alumni and fans. Things got so bad, he remembers with a smile that friends became hard to find. "My dog was the only true friend," Rogers says of that year. "I told my wife that every man needs at least 2 good friends. So she bought me another dog." Well, those are great friends, aren't we? Our dogs, our pets. But we are not alone. even when we mess up in our temptation. Did I tell you about, temptation, isn't it great? Isn't it something how it can affect all of us every day? Now, temptation affects us different. And when we're praying, it's funny sometimes how we try to twist prayers sometimes maybe to our liking, you know. And I'll never forget, they opened a Dunkin' Donuts, are you ready for this, in Jacksonville. And I love the custard chocolate donuts. I lust for those donuts. And so, but I've been trying to lose weight because I had a little bout with cancer. Everything was fine. Everything's fine because I know everybody's dealing with different things. But I'll never forget, I decide I'm going to drive to Jacksonville and I'm going to have me a donut. I'm going to have me a custard donut. So, they were pretty crowded when they first opened. So as I was driving, well, I knew I probably shouldn't. I shouldn't do it. You know, at my age, you know, and what's going on. I mean, as you get older, you know, I mean, I'm at that point where my teeth and I don't even sleep together anymore. You know. So there I was. I was praying. I said, God, if you want me to have a donut, would you please make sure there's a parking place in front of Dunkin' Donuts? I kept praying that over and over again. Got to Jacksonville, and let me tell you, by the eighth time that I drove around the Dunkin' Donuts, there was a parking place. So I knew God wanted me to have a donut, right? Oh, the games we play, huh? Isn't it? Remember that little Sunday school song we used to sing? You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. Remember that? Well, we can be a wise or we can be a foolish builder. Now, kids, remember our link letter, kids say the craziest things. So here's some truths about life that kids shared. Patrick, age 10, said, never trust a dog to watch your food. Michael, age 14, never tell your mom her diet's not working. Randy, age 9, stay away from prunes. Lauren, age 9, felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. And Eileen, age 8, never try to baptize a cat. Are we a wise? Are we building on the rock? That's how we make it through a crisis. That's how we do it. That's what brings revival. Renewing our relationship with Jesus. Remember, revival starts with one. Will we be that one? Because in Jesus, no matter what happens, the best is yet to come. And I'm not trying to be Pollyanna with that, all right? I'm not trying to be Pollyanna. I realize things happen. You know, my wife and I, we've been married for 52 years. Wow, she deserves a medal. She says we've been happily married for like 20. You know. And then the other day she told me, she said, Calvin, it only seems like 10 minutes. I said, really? She said, yes, underwater. Boy, you're just not going to get ahead, are you? Huh? And the other day we were driving along, and if you drive from, we like to take the Arnsville Blacktop cross country, and I was losing an argument as usual. So I said to her, there's a group of miniature donkeys on the left over there. So as we were driving along, I thought, well, I've got her now. I said, yeah, Marcia, you may be right, but look over there. There's the relatives of yours. She said, and she looked at me, she said, well, yeah, they're my in-laws. Just can't get ahead, do you, huh? You see, our way, we can do things our way, and God will let us, and He still loves us. He still loves us. But I think it's time for us to renew and revive us to do God's way. There are some timeless truths. Now, in wrapping this up, after I mention each timeless truth that I believe we can have a firm foundation on, if you could just reframe, the best is yet to come. How's that sound, all right? Let's practice, okay? I'm going to mention timeless truths, and I'd like to ask you all to say, what? The best is yet to come. Not because of me, not because of our feelings, not because of the situation. It's all because of who? Jesus. Faith can be spelled Jesus. Hope can be spelled Jesus. Love can be spelled Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth to seek and to save me even before I cared for you. And because of that, we can say what? The best is yet to come. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to suffer and die for me and to grant me total forgiveness. And for that we can say, the best is yet to come. Thank you, Jesus, for your patience and grace when I fail, that you always receive me and never condemn me. And for that we can say, the best is yet to come. Thank you for your gracious and tender ways, with abundant love and with abundant loving kindness toward me. And for that we can say, the best is yet to come. Thank you for your personal interest and abiding care to complete all that you plan for me. And thank you for your promise and faithfulness to keep and sustain me through pain and struggle. And we can say, the best is yet to come. Thank you for your understanding my weakness and bringing strength to my life. Thank you for your presence guaranteed every day, always near and never forsaking me. And for that we can say, the best is yet to come. And thank you for your preparations being made right now of a place for me to be with you forever. And thank you for your assurance that until then, your conquering love and power is mine, so that nothing of earth or hell can ever separate us. And for that, we can say, the best is yet to come. Last Thanksgiving, we were traveling down to see our daughter in Florida and grandkids. Well, our grandkids knew we were going to see our daughter, too. And I was going through Godfrey, and I was in a hurry. We were a little bit late to get to the airport. And as I was going through Godfrey, I guess I was going, I was going 49, it was in a 30-mile-an-hour speed zone. I was going 49 miles an hour, plus I was tailgating. And all of a sudden, just before we got to Casey's, and pulled me over. And this young man, he's a policeman, pulled me over and asked for my license, of course, and told me what I was doing. Marsha was very embarrassed. I deserved a ticket. I deserved it. Pretty soon he came back, handed me my license. He said, Mr. Foreman, have a nice day. Just please be careful. Wow, I deserve judgment. But that police officer showed me grace. Are we not thankful for the grace of God that we have not received what we deserve, but we have received faith and hope and love in the name of Jesus Christ? I am so grateful for that, aren't you? And it's not just for me. It's so that we can leave this place today to be the church as you are. And we can impact our world with the love and message of Jesus Christ to everyone, everywhere, every day. But let me tell you, we're all involved in a race. In a moment, we're going to conclude with a video. I never get tired of seeing this video. You may have remembered this. It comes from the 1992 Olympics. And, you know, we're all in this human race. We're all running a race. And we stumble and fall, don't we? Through no fault of our own. And we may not think we can finish. How are we going to finish? But out of heaven came our Heavenly Father to pick us up, to help us get going. And then we'll read us. When we get across that finish line, they'll be there to greet us. A whole encompass of heavenly hosts cheering us on right now, so that we will never give up. Never give up. So I hope today this video will encourage you and challenge you as we continue on this fantastic adventure in trusting Him. Christmas and Thanksgiving blessings. We'll be right back.
soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up I can be. More than I can be.